Hare Krishna. So everyone is nicely situated, and the topic, do you think that topic is not too philosophical, too dry, is it? Some years back, I actually noticed that when you speak philosophy, generally devotees tend to fall asleep. Of course, I must admit, I noticed you didn't fall asleep yesterday's classes. But when I told stories, I noticed that everyone woke up. So then I thought, let me give seminars on stories, story-based seminars. And the first seminar I gave in that context was Ramayana. I chose Ramayana because natural choice was Mahabharata. But I thought if I start off with Mahabharata, I can't go back to Ramayana. So better start with Ramayana and then go to Mahabharata. And then for a few years, I had been giving seminars based on such Puranic and Aitihashik aspects of our scriptures. But somehow this year I thought of giving a seminar on Uddhav Gita, because I was very impressed with Uddhav Gita, because this is so important. This Uddhav Gita has such important instruction. I mean, if we consider Bhagavad Gita, I can say Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada also said it, Bhagavad Gita is for the beginners. What was the context? The context is, first scripture to study is Bhagavad Gita. Then Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shiva Sinhan. How everybody liked Shiva singing yesterday. I told you, he's a very, very talented singer. Very accomplished singer also. Thank you so much, Shiva. So, and Srila Prabhupada pointed out, Bhagavad Gita is the first scripture that we should read. Then Srimad Bhagavatam. How we should read Srimad Bhagavatam? From first, second, and gradually go to 10th canto. That describes Krishna's pastimes. Then comes to 11th canto. And 11th canto is practically Uddhav Gita. So we can see that Bhagavad Gita is as a beginning, then next is Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Bhagavatam is ultimately culminating into the 11th canto, which is Hamsa Gita or Uddhav Gita. And another thing I want to tell you emphatically, the objective of these seminars is not to give you the complete knowledge. The purpose of these seminars is to generate the interest in you to read, give a kind of a overview, a guideline, so that you feel inspired to read yourself. Reading is very important. That's why Prabhupada spends so much time translating these books. Because reading is the basis of our spiritual advancement. Reading is non-different from hearing. Shravanam. What is the first aspect of ninefold devotional service? Shravanam. Shravanam. And reading is Shravanam. We may not be able to directly hear Srila Prabhupada. Of course we can hear also, because so many tapes are there. Prabhupada's classes, Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada's conversations. So many tapes are available. And those tapes we can hear. We can directly hear Srila Prabhupada. It's such a wonderful opportunity. Although Srila Prabhupada left, his bopu, his physical form, is not there anymore. But Srila Prabhupada is present through his vani. In his vani, in his instructions, in his recordings, Prabhupada is present. And Prabhupada himself mentioned that vani is more important than bopu. Instructions are more important than physical presence. And then, of course, the books. And in these books, we can actually hear not only Prabhupada. In these books, we can hear Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, when we read, we are hearing Krishna. That is how we should actually read Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting the Brahmana in South India, illiterate Brahmana, the Bhagavad Gita reader, Brahmana. He was illiterate, this person. But he was holding Bhagavad Gita and tears are flowing from his eyes. And people around him are laughing at him, mocking at him. Because they knew that this guy is illiterate, is pretending to be reading Bhagavad Gita and shedding tears. It's all show. And they thought it was funny. The guy cannot read and he is pretending that he is understanding Bhagavad Gita so much. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take him in that way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him very seriously. He asked him, what are you experiencing when you are reading Bhagavad Gita? That person admitted, I'm illiterate. I can't read. I'm totally illiterate. But my guru told me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And according to the instruction of my guru, although I cannot read, I just try to hold Bhagavad Gita and try to read, if at all I could. But whenever I hold the Bhagavad Gita, the picture actually comes into my mind that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So merciful towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead became Arjuna's servant, Arjuna's chariot driver, meaning Arjuna's servant. The Lord has become Arjuna's servant. And when I pictured the Lord in that way, I feel so overwhelmed with emotion due to this merciful attitude of the Lord that I can't restrain my tears. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you are the actual reader of Bhagavad Gita. You are the actual reader of Bhagavad Gita. It doesn't matter that you are illiterate, that you cannot read. But you understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita. You recognize Krishna through Bhagavad Gita. So this is how we can see that the personality is present in front of us, provided we can perceive him. And to perceive him, we need devotion. That is why devotion is so important. Love for the Supreme Lord is so important. So, anyway, so please try to recognize that reading means hearing. When you are reading these verses, recognize that it's Krishna who is speaking. Even though you may not understand Sanskrit, doesn't matter. In whichever language you can understand. And even if you are illiterate, doesn't matter. What a wonderful lesson we learned from this apparently illiterate Brahman. Just try to picture how mercifully Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has become the servant of his devotee. So that is the purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita. This is the purpose of listening to all these scriptures. The scriptures are not ordinary literatures. Scriptures are actually the message from the other world, from the spiritual world. They're the message of not this world, they're the message from that world, spiritual world. And that's why through the scriptures, the spiritual world becomes revealed to us. They literally become revealed to us. And what is so important about this Uddhav Gita? That's what probably I should have told you right at the beginning. But I thought that first I would give you some understanding of this and then I will go to the point. Actually, that's what I was saying, that not just listen to the seminar and then go home and forget about it. No, make it a point to read. Make it a point to read. Even now, when you, after the class, just go through the chapters that we have discussed. Because that will properly establish the knowledge or understanding within the heart. Shravan dasha, Boran dasha. First we hear, then we accept. Then apan dasha. Then it becomes our own. It becomes a part of me. The knowledge becomes a part of us. That's how the spiritual progression is. Hearing, just hearing is not enough. We should accept the hearing. You remember the three murtis I gave the instruction, example yesterday? Which is the power? What kind of personalities are priceless due to their nature? The one who accepts the instructions in the heart. Why Srila Prabhupada is so special among all his God brothers? Did it ever occur to you? Many of them are very scholarly. I had the good fortune of meeting some of Prabhupada's very, very advanced God brothers. And they're brilliant personalities. I was very fortunate to have a lot of mercy from them also. Brilliant personalities. But what made Srila Prabhupada stand out among all of them. Prabhupada was not really that outstanding during that time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was surrounded by sannyasis. He gave sannyas to 27 disciples. Surrounded by all these advanced devotees. Some of them were not even sannyasi, but extremely brilliant. So brilliant that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known for his scholarship, and if he got stuck with some shloka, he couldn't actually remember it. This devotee, this disciple, recited that shloka. So brilliant. So, I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had literally many luminaries among his disciples. But what was so special about Srila Prabhupada? Remember what Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told about Srila Prabhupada? He is very keen to hear. That means whatever Srila Prabhupada heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he just accepted it wholeheartedly within his heart. And that's why we can see that Prabhupada understood Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings in a perfect way. All those scholarly disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur couldn't understand his actual mission, his actual idea, his actual objective. But Srila Prabhupada did. And that's why when Gaudiya Math practically fell apart, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's spirit was revived through ISKCON. ISKCON is actually the continuity of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission. He started Gaudiya Math. Unfortunately, Gaudiya Math fell apart. And Srila Prabhupada actually is continuing the mission. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to fulfill Mahaprabhu's prediction. And what is the prediction? Every town and village all over the world. So there was a need to take the mission outside. What he could not accomplish during his time, although he sent some of his disciples out of India to England and Europe. But Srila Prabhupada actually took the mission out of India to America. And then it spread all over the world. Now, if ISKCON is not the continuity of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission, then what is? If ISKCON is not the continuity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fulfillment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, then what is? So we can see a real disciple accepts the instructions of the spiritual master to his heart, in his heart, makes it his whole life's mission. And that is why Prabhupada was so outstanding. So as I was saying, what do we actually learn in Uddhav Gita? What is so important about Uddhav Gita? In Uddhav Gita, you will see through all instructions, all examples that Krishna is citing, is he simply making one thing clear. Recognize the difference between matter and spirit. Recognize the difference between Krishna's external energy and internal energy. Recognize the difference between the body and the soul. And become situated. I'll make a simple request to all the participants here. Please come on time. Because it's an important class that is going on. Don't just walk in at your whimsically at your convenience. Because every single thing that is said has its relevance for the continuity. If you come late to the class, you're missing out half of it. What is the difficulty in coming on time? You are here to come, you have come here to attend this program. So why can't you be here on time? I mean, it's not only my request, it's my order. Everybody must come on time before the class starts. Otherwise, the door will be closed. I will put somebody out there and tell them that you cannot come in. From tomorrow, they'd make that point. 11 o'clock, the class starts. Up to 11:15, the gate to entrance will be allowed. Others, those who are coming late, they won't be able to come in. It's a serious matter. The purpose of this retreats is to give you what I cannot give you personally on a day-to-day basis. Generally, the standard was the guru used to have his ashram. Guru used to have his ashram, and guru personally used to teach his disciples on a daily basis. But in ISKCON, it's not happening. The gurus are so busy, they have so many different responsibilities around the world, they cannot sit at one place and just take care of a handful of disciples. That is why we are making this arrangement that for 7 days or 5 days we come at a place, give the thing so that I can communicate with you and try to convey what I'm trying to teach you. And in spite of coming here, if you are not serious about it, then what's the point in having these arrangements? As your spiritual master, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to guide you in a spiritual life. And I take that responsibility very seriously. Just as your spiritual master, I am prepared to take all your karma and go to hell forever. I don't mind that even. Yes, as a guru has to decide, the guru has to accept the karma of his disciples. So guru does that, and at the same time guru has all these responsibilities. And therefore a guru needs the help from the disciples. And only help that he needs is your sincere commitment. You have accepted initiation, so please become serious about your spiritual life. And that's how you are going to relieve me of my burden. To become a guru is not an easy thing. It's a very, very serious responsibility. Anyway, please become serious about your spiritual life. Don't consider that this coming to this retreat is something like going to a movie or going to a picnic. Even to a movie, you go on time. When you go to a movie, you never late to go to a movie. I don't know whether you go to a movie or not. When you go to a picnic, you are there before the picnic starts. So is this less important than those activities? Please become serious about your spiritual life. So Uddhav Gita is actually establishing, Krishna is telling us through Uddhav the difference between matter and spirit. Matter means Krishna's external energy. And spirit means Krishna's internal energy. And that internal energy of Krishna is present in the form of the soul. And the external energy is present in the form of the body. So this body is important because since we have the human form of life, we have the opportunity to become engaged in Krishna consciousness. Had we not have this body, we couldn't have been here. Had we not have this body, we wouldn't have been able to read Bhagavad Gita. We wouldn't have been attend this seminar and listen to Uddhav Gita or Krishna's instruction. Had we not have this body, we couldn't worship the deity in the temple. Had we not have this body, we couldn't have gone to the Mangalarati and attend the Mangalarati in the temple. So that's why this body is actually very, very important. Especially the human form of life. Labdha sudur labhamidam bohu shambhavante. And after many, many possibilities, we got this human form of life. Bohu shambhavante. Shambhavante means various possibilities. Bohu shambhavante. After many, many possibilities. Possibilities of 8 million possibilities. We got this human form of life. And consider the good fortune of this human form of life. We are able to listen to this Krishna consciousness, practice Krishna consciousness, become involved in Krishna consciousness. Just having the human form of life is not enough. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing that to Sanatana Goswami. That out of human beings, many, many human beings are uncivilized. Uncivilized. Some are half civilized. And only a few are civilized. And those who are civilized, they only practice or pursue spiritual life. So that is how rare is this opportunity to pursue the spiritual life, and especially the life as a devotee. Srila Prabhupada created such a good fortune. I will come to that. Of course, now I can also tell you briefly. Actually, there's a difference between Uddhav Gita and our practice. I'll make that point also clear. What's the difference? The difference is that Uddhav Gita was spoken in Dwapar Yuga. And then in Kali Yuga, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us a very, very wonderful process of spiritual advancement, which was not available before. We can see yesterday that point came out many times, like Abadhut is telling King Jadu through that example of a unmarried girl, young girl, who just kept one bangle only in hand. What instruction? To pursue spiritual life, remain alone. Yes, those days, to pursue spiritual life, one had to be alone. It'll come back again and again into that, the need for being alone. Of course, there is a need for being alone. Always the need is there. I'll come to that. But the thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a process where we are collectively can practice spiritual life. Today's spiritual practice is not singular. Today's collective spiritual practice is plural, multiple. Bahu bhir milita, many people get together. And as a matter of fact, more the merrier. So that is the inconceivable benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Alone, how many could leave everything and go to the forest and live alone to pursue spiritual life in this age? If at all, the number will be very, very few. In this age, no one is able to practically go to the forest or go to the Himalayas and practice spiritual life. But Mahaprabhu gave a spiritual life that is collective. We don't have to go anywhere. Be situated wherever you are. Wherever you are. Whether you are in a village, whether you're in a city, whether you are in the marketplace, or whether you are in a fair, in a festivity. Wherever you are, you can practice spiritual life. Just by collectively chanting the holy name of the Lord. That kind of practice was not available those days. Everybody had to pursue their spiritual life alone. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But again, I'll go back to the point. Yes, spiritual life must be pursued alone. In order to practice spiritual life properly, one has to be alone. How alone? Internally, not externally. We may be surrounded by so many, but internally we should be completely committed to our mission. An example, when you are chanting the holy name, how do you chant more attentively? When you are chanting alone, or when you are chanting with many others? Because when you are chanting with others, there is a possibility to start talking. Your chanting gets interrupted. Sometimes some devotees chant with others like Bhakti Prem Maharaj, but that he does to kind of get the devotees to chant together. I also used to do that in Mayapur. Every morning I used to have all the devotees come to my room and we used to chant. I started it. Why did I start it? Start that practice? Because I would see that devotees with bead bag in hand, they're walking and talking. They're not chanting, they're gossiping. Therefore I told them, come, every morning right after Mangalarti, come to my room and chant there. So that was one thing we had to chant together to get them into. Similarly, as I was saying, Maharaj does that. But still then, your chanting get distracted because you are actually watching everybody how they are chanting. And sometimes you have to tell, hey, don't fall asleep, stand up. And things like that. Personally, I like to chant alone nowadays. I don't get into chanting together. Because, and especially I like to chant early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Then your mind is in complete peaceful state. The whole world is very, very peaceful. So that's the point I was saying. That yes, spiritual life, you need to be alone. You need to be alone. Meaning, you may be surrounded by many others, but internally, you should be focused onto Krishna. And that's the time you have to be alone. So, again, going back to the point, what is the main teaching that we are learning from Uddhava Gita? Recognize the difference between man. Withdraw yourself from external involvement. But then again, I can see that we can't do that. I, for example, can't do that. To withdraw myself completely is not possible because ISKCON has grown so vast, so far and wide. And as one of the leaders of ISKCON, I have to take up so many responsibilities, go to so many places. But still, we have to be focused on to that. All that the consciousness has to be there that whatever I am doing is not an external activity. Whatever I am doing is my devotional service to Krishna. So that's again another aspect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. We can see Srila Prabhupada, one example again is Srila Prabhupada, one of the most brilliant examples. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was staying in the most coveted place in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Mandir, just next to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. Can you imagine what can be a more desirable place to be in? But what did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada left that place, went to America, in total uncertainty. Prabhupada was so nicely situated in Vrindavan, in Radha Damodar temple, he didn't have to worry about anything. Who can have a place like that? Just practically living just next to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. And Raghunath Das Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. One could be so spiritually absorbed in a situation like that. But what did Srila Prabhupada do? Prabhupada went to America. And in what condition Prabhupada went? In a cargo ship, having two heart attacks, arriving in America, didn't know where he was going to go. He didn't have any money. And he felt so frustrated. He used to, Prabhupada mention that he had a return ticket to go back, and he used to become so frustrated that he used to go to the shipping company and ask when the next ship is going to India. And they would say on such and such date. But within that time, Srila Prabhupada would change his mind and continue. So this is the heart of a pure devotee. Even he does not care for his spiritual comfort. Spiritual comfort. But he accepts all kinds of difficulties. He accepts all kinds of difficulties. For the sake of benefiting others. So that is the thing. Mahaprabhu's devotees, that's the unique aspect of Mahaprabhu's devotees. In other ages, they used to be concerned about their own spiritual advancement. Whereas Mahaprabhu's devotees do not care for their own spiritual advancement. They are simply concerned about other spiritual advancement. Like Basu Ghosh. I'm sorry, Basudev Datta. Telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give all the sins of all the people of this world and let them go back to Godhead. And taking all their sins, let me go to hell. That is the mood of a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paro dukha dukhi. They feel sad seeing the suffering condition of others. Paro dukha dukhi. And that is the meaning of compassion. His heart aches when he sees that others are suffering. Anyway, so yesterday I couldn't complete all 24 gurus of Abhidhuta. Do you all remember? Up to what we covered? We covered 16 gurus. No, 17 gurus. Now how many are left? Another 7 are left. So anyway, we'll reiterate them afterwards, all 24. But who are these 7 that are left? The first one is a bird. A falcon. A falcon got some meat and he was flying to take that meat, to eat that meat. He would go to some quiet place, sit down and eat the meat that it collected. So in the meantime, a bigger bird came, say an eagle. And the eagle was very hungry. So he's looking for food. And then he saw that this falcon is carrying that meat. So he attacked the falcon. The falcon realized that he doesn't stand any chance against that eagle. So what did the falcon do? He dropped that meat and flew away. So eagle, he became free from the eagle's attack. So what lesson do we learn from that? Material possession, how material possession causes anxiety. Because the others will try to take it away from you. When you have material possessions, then you are susceptible to be attacked by others. But when you drop that, like that falcon, he dropped that, and then what happens? No more anxiety, no more attack from other corners. So again, we are getting to what should a sadhu do? Should not accumulate material possession. If at all there is some material possession, drop it. But we don't drop it. What do? Use it in Krishna's service. That's the safest thing. As I said, like, Uddhav Gita is not actually complete. Uddhav Gita is not complete because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't come as yet. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the complete understanding. Yesterday I gave an example, do you remember? Negative. You remember the graph? Negative, and the axis is zero. Right? The left-hand side is negative and the beyond axis, the positive side, the right-hand side is positive. Left-hand side is minus, minus, minus. When you don't have any minus, then you are zero. Material attachments are minus, minus, minus. Giving it up is coming to zero. But then you move on towards devotional direction. Then that is the positive direction. In the negative side also, there is 1, 2, 3, 4 in the graph. Right? 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, 20 million. Right? But the more you go, the more negative you become. More deaths. 1 million in the negative direction means what? Any accountant here? Meaning debt, minus. Right? But 1 million in the positive direction means your bank account. So, in Krishna consciousness, we give up, not only just give up the negative side, but we apply in the positive side. Krishna service, promotion of promoting Krishna consciousness. So this is how we actually, this is the difference between pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pre-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's objective, we can see, is coming to zero. But post-Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is move into the positive direction. There is also opportunities of being engaged, but point is, devotional service those days was very, very rare. Very rare. Only some very, very fortunate few got that. So, what did Abhadhuta learn from the Karura bird or falcon? When he's attacked, he dropped the meat. The meat is the cause of problem. Get rid of it. So don't be attached to your material possession. Rather, when there's a necessity, drop it. Or not, as I said, not drop it. Offer it to Krishna in his service. And ultimately we'll actually come to a very important point. What is the most precious wealth that one has? What is the most valuable wealth? Most precious wealth. Anyone? Yes, Kalavati? Okay, very good. But that's not the possession, right? Mahamantra, okay, good. The most precious wealth is ourself. Is there anything more precious than that? So offer that to Krishna. Money and other things, positions, they're secondary. But what Krishna actually wants is the self. Does Krishna lack any money? Does Krishna lack any kingdom or land or palaces? No. The only thing Krishna expects from us is ourself. But it is difficult to give that. And in order to give that, we have to begin with the other possessions that we have. Let's give them to Krishna. So, then, who is the next guru that he had? Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Who is the next guru? A retarded child. Retarded child. Retarded. Sometimes you see some child who cannot speak, who is completely he's completely incapable. He can't speak, he can't think. he can't, like, anyway, I hope, I'm sure you know what it means, retarded. So, what did the Avadhut learn from that retarded child? Just as the retarded child doesn't have any concern about the surrounding world. Does he care how people think about him? Does he care what people talk about him? How people treat him? Isn't it? Did you ever notice a retarded child? So Avadhut learned, like him, a saintly person should become totally unconcerned about how the outside world is treating him. People may insult you, people may abuse you. Don't become affected. Example, Jada Bharat. Jada, actually Jada means retarded. Bharat Maharaj, in that life, he was like a retarded child, but he was actually a Paramahamsa Avadhut. So, just as a retarded child is totally unconcerned, a saintly person is, at that stage, is totally unconcerned about his surrounding. Now, in that respect, we have to understand one thing. Two opposite extremes sometimes look alike. Like sunrise and sunset. How does the sunrise and sunset? Don't they look the same? Sunrise and sunset look just the same, but they're two diametrically opposite. Sunset, the sun is setting. Sunrise, sun is rising. Completely opposite, but it looks alike. Similarly, a retarded child and an Avadhut looks alike. Similarly, a madman and an Avadhut looks alike. Then comes the example of the young girl. I already told you about the young girl. So let's go through that once again. Since so many questions came up, I thought that I selected a right example. It created quite a lot of sensation. Right? So many questions came up. Yesterday, all the questions I received were centered around that. Young girl was at home, but it so happened at that time her parents and other members were away from home. And then some suitors came with a desire to marry her. So guests came, so the girl now has to take care of them. So, she received them, asked them to wait, sit down, and she went to make some food for them, prasad for them. So, she was pounding, I think it must have happened in South India, because she was making rice powder to make idlis, or maybe dosas. So, she was pounding the rice. It could have been Bengal also. Yeah, I'm sorry. Could have been Bengal also. Because in Bengal, they take the paddy and they pound it and separate the husk from the grain. So, therefore, that also they have to do beating. It must be Bengal, because in South India they don't beat. In South India they just grind it that way. Isn't it? Anyway, wherever it is. hum Hindustani. So the girl was pounding the rice and she had bangles in her hands. So the bangles were making sound, clashing against each other. So she realized that if they hear the sound, they'll think that I am alone and I don't have any maid servant to cook the food, and they will think that we are very poor. So she didn't want to give them that impression. So she took off all the bangles from her hand. She just kept one bangle in each hand, because a young girl should have a bangle, at least one bangle in hand. So she kept. And then there was no sound. So what did Avadhuta learn from that? Those who want to pursue spiritual life, they should be alone. Because if there are more than one, then there are two possibilities. If you're friendly, you will gossip. If you're inimical, you will fight. So your spiritual life will go down the drain. So those who want to make spiritual advancement should remain alone. This is the lesson that Abhidhuta learned from that, from that young girl. So I think about this we discussed enough yesterday and today also. The point is, as I said, that in this age, Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement is with many. Yes, when we are doing Sankirtan, we should be with others. But when we are doing our personal spiritual cultivation, remain alone. At least internally. Then his next guru, who is the next guru of Abhidhuta? Spider guru. So, what does the spider do? Spider creates a web with its own saliva. The spider takes the saliva and creates the web, creating nets. And then afterwards the spider takes it back again. What lesson did he learn from that? In a similar way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material nature with his own potency. And he lets it remain manifest for some time, and then again he withdraws it himself. The Lord glances towards the material nature, and as a result of that, the time, his glance becomes time. And in the form of time, the Lord's glance agitates material nature, Maya. And then the material nature becomes manifest. Material nature has three modes: mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And in the modes, living entities become involved, and then the material nature becomes manifest. Byakta. And then again the Lord withdraws the material nature within himself. Then Abadhuta saw one small insect which was captured by a wasp. The wasp actually took that small insect into its hive. And the insect, out of fear, was looking at the wasp. And as a result of that, the insect took up the shape of the wasp. Out of fear, just being obsessed with the wasp, that small insect became the wasp. The name of the insect is Peshakrita insect. Peshakrita insect became the wasp. What lesson did he learn from that? The lesson that he learned from that is, as we act, we generate karmic reactions. And that karmic reaction develops our subtle body, shapes our subtle body. And then eventually, according to this shape of the subtle body, we get our next gross body. Is that point clear to everyone? You see, as you act, your mind or subtle body become affected by that. Okay, first of all, do you recognize that you have a subtle body? Everybody is aware of this body. This is the gross body. But is there another body beyond that? Although material, we have another body. That's called subtle body. This gross body is made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. These are three subtle elements. With these three subtle elements, we have a subtle body. So, do we experience? How many of you have experienced your subtle body? Existence of your subtle body. So how many of you experienced it before I told you? Okay. The experience of the subtle body is when we are dreaming. When you are dreaming, you are there. Do you have a body? In that dream, do you have a body? Do you have a personality? So that is the subtle body. Now, as we act, our subtle body takes its shape. Like, for example, when you do something good, how do you feel internally? When you do something good, internally you feel elated. When you do something bad, even though no one saw you doing it, how do you feel? Heavy. So this is how every action leaves its imprint on our subtle body. Now, the way one acts according to the subtle body takes up the shape. Like, for example, if somebody acts like an angel, his subtle body will take the shape of an angel. If somebody acts like an animal, the subtle body will take the shape of an animal. And according to that, and then when he leaves the body, the subtle body carries the soul. The gross body dies, subtle body doesn't die. subtle body carries the soul. And according to the shape of the subtle body, Mother Nature will provide the next body to us. So somebody who acted like an angel and whose subtle body has taken up the shape of an angel, what kind of body he will get after his birth? He'll get a body of an angel. And if somebody acted like a pig, after death, what kind of body he will get? He'll get a body of a pig. Therefore, be careful how you work, how you act. Because accordingly, you'll get your subtle body. So, so in this way, there are our abadhuta received or accepted 24 gurus, and he learned from these 24 gurus. So that, what did he learn? He learned how to become Krishna conscious. All these instructions that he received are very, very conducive or favorable to our spiritual advancement. So, okay. So I'll invite a few questions now. This question is from Rasapriya Gandharvika. Where is Rasapriya Gandharvika? Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So this is questions from evening, yesterday evening's class. Thank you for your wonderful association. As you mentioned about the entanglement in Grihastha Ashram, being with wife and children, etc. But being in Grihastha Ashram, how can we be free from entanglement without deviating from our responsibilities? Also, are children always the source of entanglement? How should we see this so that we are not deviated from our family duties? Thank you very much, Rasapriya Gandharvika. Very nice question. Very good question. I think this question is there in every householder's mind. How do we, being situated in household situation, can make spiritual advancement? The answer is very easy. Very easy. Simply make your house into a temple. Is your house your house? Then, Gandharvika, Rasapriya, is it your house? No. Whose house? Krishna's house. Now, in Krishna's house, those who are staying, who they are? Sit down. Who they are? They are Krishna's devotees. Your husband is a Krishna devotee. Your children are Krishna's devotees. So, you take care of them as if you are not taking care of your children or husband, but you are taking care of Krishna's devotees in the temple of Krishna. And then when your husband goes out to work, he is making money to maintain Krishna's temple. Right? His work then becomes devotional service. Are you working? You're also working. So when you're working to earn money, why do you need the money? You need the money to take care of Krishna's house, Krishna's temple. So is it a mundane activity or spiritual activity? Spiritual. So this is how your household life becomes a source of spiritual advancement. Okay? Thank you. Nityananda Swarup. Where is Nityananda Swarup? Okay. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances unto dust of your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As you mentioned, that for spiritual advancement, we need to remain alone internally. So my question is, how can we remain alone internally? Don't take any more, huh? To remain alone internally means you do not allow your senses to go out. Withdraw your senses. And that is the meaning of meditation. Like, can you imagine a situation when you're surrounded by so many people, but if you're not allowing your senses to go out, will you see them? Will you see them? Will you hear them? No. So that is how you remain alone, by internalizing your senses. All right? Sumahan Chaitanya Das. Sumahan Chaitanya. Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. You told that one should not accumulate wealth, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami kept his 1/4 part for his property for future. How this could be understood? Rupa Goswami was not accumulating for himself. Whatever he has accumulated, he is giving it out. Alright, you understand the difference. Out of that he kept 1/4 because he anticipated that Sanatana Goswami may need it. And Sanatana Goswami used it to become free from the prison. Alright? So Rupa Goswami was not accumulating. Rather, whatever he had accumulated, he just gave it away. Pratik. Where is Pratik? Okay. Thank you, Pratik. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. As you said yesterday, that we have to become disgusted in our material life, and ultimate goal is developing loving relationship. Though we are aware of that, we have to develop that relationship. Moksha, relief from suffering, is foundation principle of our chanting. Deity worship or any other devotional service. How do we go from desire for moksha, which is subtle in leaving a loving devotional service? Yeah, thank you, Pratik. Very good question. Now, are you sure the moksha is the goal of chanting? Huh? Where is Pratik? I don't see him now. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. What is the goal of our chanting? Huh? Moksha or liberation? Then? Why did you say moksha? Huh? The purpose of... Yeah, okay, answer.
We chant with the consciousness to get away from suffering.
Get away from something?
Suffering.
Suffering. Okay. So is it get away from suffering or get real enjoyment? Huh? The purpose of our serving is, chanting, is to become engaged in devotional service to Krishna. Moksha means liberation, getting away from the material bondage. But the goal of chanting is not liberation as such. Rather, Chaitanya Charitamrita has been compared that liberation is the worst kind of deception. Tar moddhe mokkho bancha koitabo pradhan, jaha huite Krishna bhakti hoy antardhan. Desire for liberation is actually the worst form of deception, because from this desire for liberation, from desire for liberation, tendency for devotion goes away. Right? So the point is, the purpose of devotion, purpose of chanting is to develop a love for Krishna. And when you develop your love for Krishna, then wherever you are, you can become engaged in the devotional service. Okay. You see, pure devotional service is free from two things. One is desire for enjoyment here in this material nature, and desire from liberation from this material nature. Both are actually detrimental. Pure devotional service is free from those two. Jnana karmad anabritam. Pure devotional service is devoid of jnana, which leads to liberation, and karma, which leads to sense gratification. Pure devotional service is free from both sense gratification and liberation. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, that's true. I actually skipped 2 points. Yeah. Actually, two other examples, gurus, were there. Who is this from? Okay, good. Very good for reminding me. One is one is a snake. Snake is his guru. How, again, we go back to remaining alone. Have you seen a snake? Generally, all other entities go in pair. You will look, the birds, how do the birds fly? Did you see? They go in pairs. And how do the animals go? Also mostly in pairs. But the snake always goes alone. So similarly, a saintly person who is who is aspiring spiritual advancement will remain alone. So again, we are going back to the same very interesting point, right? Very popular point. Remain alone. And the other one is the arrow maker. Arrow maker was so absorbed in making arrow that the king was passing. When the king passes, how does the king pass? Do you know? There must have been, you know, drums beating and, you know, bodyguards and soldiers. So the king moves like that. Elephants, horses. But the arrow maker was so absorbed that the king went by, but he did not notice it. Because he was so absorbed in making the arrow. So what lesson do we learn from that? One who wants to make spiritual advancement should be so absorbed that he won't notice even a crowd like king passing. Okay? Thank you. Premarupa Das, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Guru Maharaj, you also told about snake and arrow maker as gurus. What are the lessons from them? Okay. So double reminder. Village Chapra, Soumik Rangdar from Chapra. Who is that? Soumik Rangdar from Okay. Very good. Dear Guru Maharaj, I offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. I am small one. Now I am in class 4. So that kind of So what kind of act do devotees? Okay, so you like to play with toys? Shomik? So ask your father to buy a Radha Krishna toy and you can worship them like Prabhupada did when he was a little boy. Right? And I can see that you have a Japamala, so you must be chanting 16 rounds now. So in this way you practice your devotional service. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Bhakta Bibhor, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, thank you for your wonderful association. My question is that Jada means retarded. This world is also known as Jada, Jagat. Then how we are not retarded, or at least behave like that, so we don't care about others. Yes, this material nature also is known as jada, like jada jagat. This world is also inert. And so, you see, you don't have to pretend to be jada. Your consciousness should become like that. When you become an abadhut, then only you will become jada, like jada bharat. Alright? Meaning jada means inert. This jagat, does it have consciousness? Does it have consciousness, this world? No. That's why it's called jada jagat. No consciousness, inert. So at a very advanced stage, a devotee loses external consciousness and his behavior becomes like inert person. So last question, Amal Sham. Amal Sham. Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam Grohan Korun. Amar Prashna Holo, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ebong Uddhav Gita moddhe parthokyo ki? Ami ingrite bolle tumi bujhte parbe? Oh, recording hocche, thik ache. His question is, what's the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Uddhav Gita? At the beginning of the class I mentioned. Class e shomoy moto eschile na pore eschile? Ami to class er prothomei bolechi. Prabhupada boleche Bhagavad Gita hocche adhyatmik pathe egobar pratham part ar Uddhav Gita hocche final part. Okay, thank you very much. I'll end now.